from the Dan Patrick Show. It's Paulie Paps. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm just glad I came on a day after the Red Sox won, so morale's so high.
Hey, first of all, what are you doing in Vermont? I know you have a house somewhere in Vermont, but what are you doing in Vermont now?
Oh, I'm up here right now. I'm on my front porch. I have a little cabin down in Wilmington, Vermont. I come up here all the time. I love it. I go up to Burlington, actually, a couple times a year, and I love it up there, too, because there's so many good breweries up there. But I'm doing a cool thing down here, shameless plug. It's this place called Wilmington Works. They promote Wilmington, which got hit hard in the flood years ago, and we're starting a new business. I got to be on Sports Jeopardy, Dan Patrick's show that they used to have on Crackle.
Right.
And I just smoked McLovin and Fritzy like nobody's business. And so they gave me $25,000, but they didn't give it to me. They said I had to give it to charity, so no problem there. I gave it to Wilmington Works. So we're having a thing we're announcing today. There's going to be a new business in town, and they get $25,000 to start their business. It's pretty cool.
Look at you.
Where did your fascination with the Green Mountain State start?
Oh, I can't get enough of it. I grew up in the south side of Chicago, and to me, Vermont was like an ideal, but not something you'd ever think you'd be. You know, I just grew up on 104th Street in Chicago, and when I got up to New York City, I started working at CBS, and all I had was a motorcycle. I was like, I want to see Vermont. And I just drove up to, and the first town I saw was Wilmington, and I've been all around the state for the past 15 years, but I just love the fact that, you know, the little things like not billboards and junk all over the roads. But I'm really being serious, like the lack of chain restaurants. And you know, there's a place for chain restaurants and there's a place for chain stores, but the mom-and-pop feel that the state holds on to is really impressive.
He obviously hasn't been near Chittenden County yet.
I read about the Target.
Hey, you mentioned you come up to Burlington every so often. What do you like doing when you're up here? Which breweries do you like to hit?
Well, I like to go south of town. We hit Mad River Distillers in town, and then Switchback is great. Magic Hat is great. Zero Gravity, and I love that walk where you could just basically get to the south end of town and start walking back and hitting the breweries and the food trucks. And I mean, Burlington's just like heaven.
Hey, Paulie, we've been talking about the Red Sox. You're a big Red Sox guy, aren't you? You were at 04 ALCS and the World Series.
Yeah, I was working with Dan Patrick back in, started working with him like in 2003, and we went to the 04 ALCS, and when it was, 3-0 Yankees, it was just, the mood was so down, and I can remember that Shaughnessy wrote that article about they should be embarrassed, and it felt that way, and I can remember I had a few buddies who were Red Sox fans. When Red Sox won game four, they were like, oh man, now we have hope, and this is going to make it worse when the Yankees win, but that's still, I think, the greatest 2 weeks of my sporting life as a reporter, journalist, whatever you want to call it, to see the mood change in that town in Boston, just being about to be swept to one of the great upsets or great comebacks in sports history.
All right, Paulie, what did you think? Did you think it was a home run? Did you think Mookie Betts was interfered with? I'm glad the Red Sox won, but I thought for sure it was a home run. There should not have been any interference called. Joe West blew that call. What did you think?
It's a tough one because I think when you make the call in the field, I think the umpires like to back their own call, and they may use that thing where there's not enough evidence. To me, I think the right thing happened in the fact that I think Mookie Betts is catching that ball if nobody makes contact with him. So I think he was going to rob him of a home run. That said, the rule is fans have to enter the field of play, not physically, but like they have to put their arms over into the field of play to make contact with the mitt. If you we can go break it down guy by guy, but there's a guy in a white shirt whose arm is definitely on the field, like across the plane, I guess you'd call it. But the other two guys, it felt like Mookie Betts' mitt was on the border of being in the stands, out of the stands. But I think I think the right thing happened because he was going to catch the ball.
And you could tell it's not like 1970 anymore because the names of all three of the gentlemen were out on online in about 45 seconds. Oh, there's Joe Smith from St. Louis, and there's, it's like it doesn't take long, does it?
No, but you know what? I mean, hey, I'm surprised you guys don't bump me for having one of them on the show right now.
Well, that's the thing. They'll all be millionaires by the end of the year. That's the great thing about this country. As far as day-to-day operations on the Dan Patrick Show, what's that like? I mean, it's a very unique format, obviously.
Well, we kind of treat it like years ago when Dan and I and the other guys started working together, we would go out for like a beer and some wings after the show. And he goes, I want to take the conversation when we have beer and wings, remove a little bit of the language, and just bring it upstairs onto the radio and TV show. And that's what we do. We try to have a good time. A lot of these sports shows, people are angry and yelling at each other, and I don't really get that. I mean, you're getting paid to cover sports for a living. Let's have some fun. And not everything is a do-or-die hot take debate. There's a place for everything, but our show is just, We try to have a good time. You let Dan interview the guests because Dan's the master, and we go home.
Paulie and Paps with us here, Dan Patrick Show, one of the Danettes here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. You mentioned you smoked Fitzy and McLovin in Sports Jeopardy, which I love that show too, by the way. I've stayed up to like 2 in the morning watching reruns of it so many times. Who's the most athletic member of the Danettes?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's definitely not me. I mean, my best sport is archery, where you're standing almost motionless when you do it. No, I'm not a good athlete. You know, Andrew McLovin Perloff, he played on the JV college basketball at Dartmouth, which is the closest thing to an actual sports team that any of us played in college, so I think he gets it by default.
I want to play Dan in a one-on-one.
Oh, jeez.
I think we should have one-on-one of all sports casters around. Elbows are good. One-on-one is Dan in or out. What do you think?
He's out, but if you say to Dan, we're going to have a jump shooting contest, he's in, and he's going to take your lunch money.
I know he can shoot. Listen, look, Paulie. I want you to understand something. I know Dan can shoot. I know all about it. I've seen the form. I just want you to know, I went to high school with Steve Kerr, okay? I'm better than him. I'm better than Kerr, okay? So I know how to shoot myself, Paulie. I know what I'm doing here.
Okay, you know what? Dan's going to find a way to get in your head, and you might be a better shooter, but he's going to figure out a way. I don't know. I've never seen him lose in a shooting contest before either. I've never been there for it, or he finds a way to semantics his way out of it. But, Somewhere or not, at the end of the day, he's going to find a way, even if you beat him, that you're going to lose.
Oh, wow. How do you get his attention? Do you guys have, like, little clickers when you have something to say? I mean, I sit here, and every day I go home, and I'm listening to you guys. I'm like, how do they know it's their turn?
Well, it's almost like grade school. We don't want to talk all on top of each other.
Right.
And so we just kind of give, like, a little head nod or a little finger raise. So, you know, Dan's a star. We're not supposed to hijack the show. And, you know, people tune in and hear Dan Patrick and us help Dan out or jump in with Dan or ask him questions. So we don't want to step all over him. So, you know, he sees us and he goes to us when he needs us.
Okay. Paulie, as the guy who gets the guests for our show, I can appreciate the position you guys are in of getting
by the way,
great
fantastic booking. I can't believe he booked me. I haven't been on a radio show in 2 years and he's able to book me for 320. Well done.
Well, hey, you're a Vermonter at heart. You're an honorary Vermonter.
Hey, guess what? I got my Vermont driver's license. I bailed on Connecticut, and about 3 weeks ago, I got a Vermont driver's license. They spelled my street wrong, and they spelled my last name wrong, so I feel like a true Vermonter.
Wait a minute. Are you saying the DMV did something wrong?
Wow.
Hey, no, I'm going to compliment the DMV. I walked in. I thought they were closed. There was no line at Monday morning at like 7:45. If it was Connecticut, there would have been a line like it was Six Flags.
Well, but as I mentioned about your guest list is one of the best things about your show. It's always an A-list. Who's a guest that you got on that you thought was going to be great that ended up not living up to the hype?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I think I got to think about this one. You know, we've always want people to come on and just be honest. And we tried to have Barry Bonds on one time, and it was about a minute before the interview started. And this was a long time ago. This is like 2004. His publicist goes, "I want no questions about PEDs or anything like that." and Dan goes, "Well, no, I mean, I'm going to ask him whatever I want. You can't agree, agree to do an interview, then 30 seconds beforehand start laying out ground rules." So Dan goes, "Tell Barry to said take it easy and talk to you next time." And he's ready to talk.
Wow.
And but then I'm the guy who has to do it. So all of a sudden Barry goes, "Hello." I'm like, "Hey Barry, it's Paul. It's Dan Patrick's show." And I go, "Yeah, Dan's not going to do the interview." Okay, and then click.
Wow, I love it.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
It goes the other way too. There's people you never think would be great people or great guests, and it was a bunch of years ago. You remember Bobby Knight, the coach at Indiana?
Of course.
He'd just taken the job at Texas Tech, and it was the morning of his first game, his first debut game at Texas Tech after everything that happened at Indiana. And I just had the dopey idea to have Bob Knight on to talk about Michigan, Ohio State football because he went to Ohio State. But he was good friends and an admirer of Bo Schembechler, the great Michigan coach. This is, I think, 2003 or 4. And Bob Knight actually said yes. And I couldn't believe he said yes because he had a bad falling out with ESPN. He would never do ESPN interviews. He hated everybody at ESPN. And so Bob Knight agrees to do it. And then I called Bo Schembechler and got a hold of him. And Bo was not doing interviews either, but he said, "I'll go, come on because Bob's coming on." And so we're in the middle of the interview with Bob Knight about 3 or 4 minutes in, and Dan's asking him about Michigan, Ohio State, and he's talking about how much he loved Schembechler and all I taught him. and he brought in Bo Schembechler to surprise Bob Knight. And at the end of the interview, and the interview must have gone 30 minutes. It was supposed to go like 12. And we, you know how it works in the industry. We blew through two commercial breaks. I was about to retire. And at the end of the interview, I go, Coach Knight, thanks a lot for coming on. He goes, Paul, that was one of the nicest things anyone's ever done for me. Call me anytime.
Wow.
And it's just one of those interviews that, you know, I remember 15 years ago, and it still feels great.
Oh, wow.
But I got to ask you this question on behalf of the millennials that'll know. Dan has become, your whole show, Dan especially, I guess, is the front man of it, has become close with the Pardon My Take guys over at Barstool Sports. How did that partnership happen? Because I think of Dan Patrick and the Pardon My Take guys as about as much of the antithesis as you could get.
Well, you know what? I met Dan Katz, Big Cat from Barstool Sports, about 4 years ago at the Final Four. We just struck up a conversation. He's a Chicago guy, as am I. And he's just a comedian. You know, he's a comedy guy who his comedy is sports. And they're putting on a great show, those guys, PFT and Dan Katz, Big Cat over at Barstool. And they really clicked. We got along with them, and you know, they wanted to interview Dan. They had him on. It's funny that they had that show on ESPN Barstool Van Talk.
Yeah.
And it got canceled before the second episode even aired, and the second episode was Dan, and we filmed it a year ago today. But they're just truly funny guys trying to put on a show, specifically PFT and Big Cat. And, you know, comedy's comedy. It either works or it doesn't.
Well, speaking about comedy, I got as Fritzy as neurotic as he comes off, and how's his comedy coming along?
Oh, that's a Fritzy is everything you see on the show. For those who are listening who don't know, he's the booker of the show. He doesn't trust computers. He writes all his stuff down in notebooks. And if you remember the movie Seven with Kevin Spacey, where he's a maniac psycho, and he has those notebooks with all the little stuff written down.
Yeah.
Now, Fritzy's not that, but he has this like distrust of technology, and he's an unbelievable guy. Like, if you called Fritzy right now and said, Fritzy, what is John Elway's cell phone number? He could give it to you off the top of his head.
Oh, I love that.
What is the Rams PR facility office number? He'd be like, that's 310-227, and he has it, like, memorized Rain Man style.
Oh, how funny. That is awesome. Well, look, let's see if we can set up some hoops with Dan. Next time you're up here, let us know. We'll take you out to lunch. It's on Rich, of course.
What?
We always put it on you, Rich. We always take your credit card. And by the way, I also do a TV show, The Fall Foliage TV show.
Oh.
Have you heard? No, I know. You talk about that all the time, man. That cracks me up around here.
Oh, I jones for foliage. I'm trying to start my own foliage network. I'm here now putting some dead soldiers to bed at my place, some down leaves. I can't. Please, I would love to come up there and sit in just for the excuse so we could go bar hopping and brewery hopping.
I love it. All right, well, next time you're in town, let us know, man. We'll have to get together. Okay, buddy?
All right, thanks a lot. Go Catamounts.